see on this weary soul. Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord, have mercy on this weary soul.
All right, a new lease on life, everyone. That is what Go Yard is all about with Mama Mac. And that's who I am, sitting right here in this chair, live in the studio with you tonight. And this is our third show for this new show, Go Yard. And we are very excited about being here with you tonight. My co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni, is sitting right here. You're there.
I'm right here. Good evening, everyone.
They can actually see us, Angel, on the webcam. So those that want to, they can go to the Tantalk website, www.tantalk1340.com, and we should come right up there on the homepage. So that's where we are. And some of you may want to listen through that, or in the Tampa Bay area, of course, 1340 AM and the other stations also associated with this one. And this show is all about learning to hit a home run, because Go Yard is baseball slang for hit a home run.
A home run in life.
A home run in life. We're all about that, aren't we, Doctor? We are all about showing people ways to live better, have better experiences in their relationships and in their own minds, peace of mind, etc., aren't we?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there that are just existing, and we want them to live and be excited with that passion for life.
Amen. I love what you have on your tagline, on your text and everything. Your slogan is, go ahead.
Boldly live, boldly pursue life with purpose and passion, because that's what it's all about.
Boldly pursue life with purpose and passion.
Yes.
I love that, because with purpose, you got a reason for being here on this earth, and you have some things to accomplish. And that's what we believe here at Go Yard. We all have a plan. There's a plan that there is for each of us, and we need to live that and live it to the best of our ability. Passionately, I like that. That means, you know, you're not just barely existing and getting through your days and can hardly make it. That's why we chose that theme song from the beginning, A New Lease on Life, you know? And that's what we are talking about here on Go Yard. And if you missed the first two shows, we want you to go to the Tan Talk website, and there will be go to podcasts, and you can go down and click on a little link that will take you to the podcast for Go Yard, and you can go back and listen to the first two shows that you may have missed. This is show number three. And today we are going to talk about something very interesting. Dr. Falzoni, you and I agreed as we started this show that we would start with a topic that was hot and relevant and now. And that topic of over the last 2 weeks has been
domestic violence.
Domestic violence in all of its forms, correct?
Yes.
Not just when we think of domestic violence, we don't just think of hitting someone or pulling someone's hair or dragging them from an elevator, right?
Which is the face we usually think about when we hear that term. But yes, we covered the emotional, the psychological, the financial.
Yes.
And how it can come into a variety of relationships, not just our intimate partnerships, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriends, but friendships, family members, siblings, parents. It can be.
We talked. Yeah.
There.
We talked about all those possibilities for those connections. So we're going to take this step further here today on the show, and we're going to get pretty nitty gritty about a subject that a lot of people experience in their lives. They know that it's happening to them. They don't understand why maybe it's happening to them, maybe relationship after relationship, or maybe they are the one who behaves like we're going to talk about today. And so this is going to be very informative, and the title of this show is
The Illusion of Control.
The Illusion of Control. Whoa, this is going to be interesting. Control is something that we see in so many people's lives. You having been now a licensed mental health counselor, me having been in the ministry for 40-some years. That dates me. Let's say it's 30-something, okay? All right. So all these years in the ministry, counseling people. But you with the degree, with the license, with the credentials, if you will, to speak with authority on this today, I believe that control is one of the worst problems in relationships, and I believe that a lot of times it leads into physical violence or other things. You want to talk about that?
Well, I agree with you. There's two sides to control, and that's okay. Where it's the great illusion, because we believe we have more control than we really do.
Okay.
And so we are trying to exert control in areas that we don't have business, which turns into a lot of problems in relationships. And then we give others control that they have no business having over us.
And
so there's a dualistic side of this illusion of control.
Okay. And how do we give others? Let's just go with that first. I mean, how do we give others control or power in our lives?
Well, we give them the control when we let them make our choices and decisions.
Okay.
And we become almost the victim of their choices and decisions, like we are powerless.
Right.
Like we're puppets on the marionette strings.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. They're holding the little puppet strings and they're moving them up and down and side to side and making our decisions. If it's a parent deciding the career choices of their kids, that's a big
one. Yes. Wow. That's a good one, too.
Having children or finances or all kinds of things we can give that control to other people for.
Right. Yeah. And really, we have the right to make our own decisions, right? I mean, we have a free will. God designed us that way, with a free will. And so the goal is to develop your own self to the point that you're making wise, sound judgment calls in the decisions you have to make in your life. Not that you're never going to make a mistake, because you're going to.
Oh,
right?
Of course. But mistakes are good.
They're
learning opportunities.
Yes. We're going to invite our audience to weigh in on this today. And I want to give you the phone numbers. There's two of them. Locally, 727-441-3000. You can use that phone number. Or you can use the toll-free number, 1-866-826-1340. I'm going to give those to you again. If you have a pen, why don't you write them down? And you never know, during our discussion here in the next few minutes, you may decide, hey, I have a question, or I have a comment, or I have a story that I want to share real briefly that would enhance the show today. And we welcome that, don't we?
The more interactive, the better it is.
This is almost like, I told someone today, a doctor, it's almost like a free counseling session for our audience, you know? And they're getting the expertise of years of training and also experience.
Yes.
So those numbers are, again, 727-441-3000 and 1-866-826-1340. So this show is about the illusion of control. So back to your point that you were making about control, as far as maybe you want to define it a little bit. Most people, it's pretty obvious what that word means, but maybe you want to say.
It really is an obvious term. It's giving power or taking power that we don't have. It's
right.
Not real. It's not realistic, some of it. And some of it, we give that power, and that. I think a lot of resentment sets in when we let or feel pressured by. Other people may put pressure for us to make those choices, but we ultimately have the last choice and fine line. Did we make that decision? It's our decision to make.
Exactly. So people do give away their power.
Every day.
Okay? I've heard you say many times, take back your power.
Take back
your power. Okay? And for somebody listening today, they may go, well, how do I do that? That seems pretty difficult. And what kind of areas in a person's life does this control problem affect? Let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about how they take it back. But, you know, how does this affect people, the listening audience? And they say, well, I don't know that I'm controlling or that I know somebody that is. Give us some examples or give us some.
Well, it can be found in so many aspects of life.
Okay.
I mean, some people can give their control away in their personal relationships, their friendships, their marriage relationship or intimate partnership with their children, or try to take control with their children as they become adults.
Right.
That would definitely cross some lines of where we exert our power and control. And so with jobs, careers, professional, I mean, it can go anywhere.
It can go anywhere.
Okay. Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of people that feel that their opinion about your life is the right opinion on how you should handle this, raise your children, whatever. Some people have had very controlling mother-in-laws. I did. I understand that concept. And I was constantly being lectured on how best to punish a child, or don't do it that way, do it this way. And the control was huge. I mean, in that situation, this was many, many years ago, but it was devastating to me as a young wife and mother that I was not measuring up to my mother-in-law's standards or her opinions, or you know what I'm saying?
Well, absolutely. And that's a great example, because I think that's a pretty common example that happens. And
yes. That's why they're called the bad mother-in-law,
yeah,
or the wicked mother.
They're not all bad, but yes, I hear you. It's definitely cliche.
Yeah.
And so it kind of comes in masked as I'm assisting you. I know more. My experience in life has taught me this. So I'm
yes.
going to impart that to you. The problem
that's a
is
a wonderful gift.
It is a gift. And it is a gift. But that's what it is. It's a gift.
Right.
I can choose to pick that gift up and use it.
There you go.
Or I can choose to not. But that's where my freedom and power comes in. You
there
can
you
give
go.
Me the gift.
Yes.
But I get to choose which parts of that gift, if any of that gift, I use.
Exactly. But there are repercussions for the person who chooses not to open the gift and take it.
Well, the
right?
problem is because the giver wasn't giving it as a gift. They were kind of giving it as a command and demand.
Ah, command and demand versus a suggestion.
Or a gift.
Or a gift. The command and demand part of that suggestion or whatever it is, that gets people, hurt feelings start in, resentments. We mentioned the word resentment a minute ago. I think that's a good word for what happens when you have a very controlling situation and somebody, whether it's your mother-in-law, your husband, your whoever, your friend, somebody is trying to put their values, their way of doing something on you as you got to do it this way. Oh no, you just got to do it this way. No, don't do it that way. Do it this way, you know?
Well, and you're kind of stuck between the rock and the hard place, because if you do take all their suggestions and gifts and advice, then they're controlling what you're doing, and it's to seek their approval or to measure up to their standard. So you're giving them power by trying to measure to their standard.
Exactly.
And if you don't, you may have the big bad wolf to contend with while you learn to set your own path, which is not an easy path to do, which why a lot of people will just bow down
right.
and just give in.
Because life is easier if the growly bear just shuts up for a while, right? And
yes.
not be because it's been my experience. I'm just going to tell you from life experience that people that have tried to control me through the years, and there have been a lot of them, they will really make you pay if you don't go with their suggestion, their demand, their idea on how this should be done, whatever this is.
They can. They could withdraw their love.
There
they
you go.
They can cast you out. I mean, there's a lot of extremes that can happen, and there can be repercussions. And so some people just choose to, let's take the path of, you know, the least resistance. But in the mean, you've just given your power to someone else. And
right.
so now you're the one, you pay the fault of the choices you make, because you are making those choices to take their advice, good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter, but you're giving away a part of yourself.
That's exactly right.
And our greatest gift as human beings is our gift of power and freedom.
Right. Wow.
It really is.
But so often, Doctor, I've seen this through the years in the ministry, so often people go along with the controller because it's almost peace at any price, you know? If I can just, okay, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because I want peace in my home, or I want peace with my mother-in-law, or I want peace with my child, or whatever. So I'm not going to rock the boat very much because I don't want to have a confrontation.
Correct. And some people will try to passively get their power back by maybe moving across the country so they only have to have contact with this person, you know, a week or 2 weeks a year.
Right.
And that's a way to avoid the conflict and appease it at the same time.
Sure.
And I think what happens is we can get stuck in this bad guy syndrome.
Okay.
Everyone thinks it's so bad to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Oh, good point.
They don't. There's nothing wrong with being the bad guy.
The black hat versus the white hat if you're a cowboy, right?
I have a standard, and I'm sticking my feet to this standard, and I am predictable. This is my line.
So this is a boundary-setting experience.
Absolutely.
I love that whole concept of boundary setting, you know, because I didn't understand it or know it when I was a young wife and mother, you know. Didn't know that I should say, wait a minute, no, I'm the parent here. I'm going to treat this situation this way. I didn't. And so I had many hours of agony, doctor. I really did, of trying to measure up to my mother-in-law and please her. And I found I never did. I was never good enough. I was never the right daughter-in-law that she would have picked for her son. Da-da-da. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true. And that's where that resentment, and that's where you're giving away your identity to somebody else. And when you look in the mirror after years of doing that, you don't even know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Depression, anxiety, all those things start to sit in because you are just given your identity to other people to tell you the decisions you get to make for your life, but you're paying the consequences of those decisions that they told you to make.
Exactly. So what happens to the person being controlled? Okay, let's talk about them. The victim. Let's call them the victim or whatever you want to call them. They tend to gradually get into that role, and then the resentments build up. We just mentioned that. But their behavior changes in some ways, don't you think?
Well, their behavior can change in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot of different ways people can respond to this kind of. They can just put the good mask on and the good face on when they're
around.
Yes,
I've seen that. Oh, yeah.
And secretly,
happy face.
The happy face. And they can secretly be doing whatever it is that they want to do when the other person's not around. So they have this, like, dual life thing going on.
Right. So it's not real truth. It's not their truth. It's this pretense of, okay, I'm going to go along with you because this is real important to you. So I'll go along with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and true, and it's what happens. And when we carry that on for so long, we're losing pieces of ourselves every time we're doing it.
Wow. Why is that so significant? I like that concept you just said, losing pieces of yourself. This is a real reason why people should wake up and not allow the controller to run the ship. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because this doesn't come masked as, like, domestic violence. That was much more severe on the end. This is
sure
just everyday relationship.
This is everyday stuff.
And this is the helpful, I like your, you know, word picture of the mother-in-law. This is somebody coming in and swooning in who has been there, done that, the experience, the knowledge, the expertise. And you're right, when you're young and this is the first time, you're very vulnerable.
Right.
We don't know what we're doing.
Right.
Hand me that package baby the first time and I was lost. And I'm so grateful for the women who came alongside and showed
sure
me, but they did so in the manner of a gift.
Right.
And that's what it has to be, a gift.
I love this.
I had to find my own way.
Yes. Yes. So the person that's sitting out there listening today and saying, wow, I have been controlled all my life. I have been, and I've never measured up. Because I think that the victimizer, the controller, so often has that underlying concept that we talked about in one of our first two shows about, if you would only do this, then I'll be happy. Or if you would just do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's constant demands being put on the person that's being controlled to shape up and fly right.
But this is a lot more subtle than that.
Okay.
Much more subtle. And it's not
talk
spoken in the if you would just do. It is given to you in kind of, they're setting the example or the mold. And this is the mother you're parenting. Are you going to be a good mother? Because this is how a good mother would do it.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of insecurities can happen on your part that you're not really sure what it should look like. And
so
it's not this if you would do spoken. It's if you would do kind of unspoken.
Unspoken.
Yes.
All right. That clarifies that. So there's all the subtlety that's going on then. So you know that you're not measuring up because the person being controlled understands after a while the looks, the size, you know, something like that, or, oh, for heaven's sake, kind of.
Or the I told you so. How about that one?
Oh, I told you so. Yeah, that's a big one. Didn't you listen to me? If you would have just listened to me, rah, rah, you know.
And we're going to make mistakes. Everybody does.
Right.
And they're great learning opportunities. So
right.
A mistake is not so bad.
It's not. No. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we talk about the fact that so many of us have experienced people like this in our lives. I'd say most of us.
Sure. I think there's always some people that we come across in the course of our lives that will attempt to do so through their subtleties, their experience, their knowledge. They've been there, done that, wrote the book kind of thing.
Right.
And they're not even, I don't believe they're just doing this with this ill intent. I think in their heart, they think that they know the right way and they're going to show you the right way and their way is the right way. And if you could just get on board, you're going to be as happy or fine or successful as they think you should be.
Absolutely.
So this is kind of done with not the intention to control you, but that's what's happening under the surface.
Right. So we mentioned the word boundaries, and if any of you out there are taking notes, write that word down. And by the way, we want to welcome you to call in. Anybody want to call in with a question, a comment? We will be happy to take that call. And the numbers, again, are 727-441-3000 and 1-866-826-1340. Okay. Boundaries. Let's talk about them. And why are they important? Can you define them? Maybe some people don't really understand what that means in this setting of being the victim of a controlling person.
Well, boundaries we need to have in our life period. Boundaries okay. are, if we think of it in the natural world, boundaries are fences. They're walls. They're things that keep us safe.
There are two yellow lines on a highway. Don't pass, right?
Exactly. And if there was no lines on the road, cars would be going every
just
which
going
direction
everywhere.
And there'd be chaos.
Right. Okay.
That's how it is for us in our personal lives.
Okay.
Boundaries kind of help keep the chaos into control.
Right.
Or help us learn to recognize it and control it for ourselves.
Right.
So boundaries are important to have for ourselves personally. I mean, if we don't have any personal boundaries, what are we going to stop? There's no behavior that's inappropriate.
Well, there you go. And you so know. Anything goes. And that's what, you know, a lot of people do live in that kind of a situation.
There are. And it's a hot mess for lack
of
a better word.
Hot mess. There you go.
It becomes
the boundary setting is not there. Right. In other words, so you're interacting with a controlling person. Doesn't have to be your mother-in-law, but maybe it's somebody you live with. Okay.
Could be.
And the person says, we're doing it this way. And this, there's no discussion. We're doing it this way. Okay. The person being controlled, how do they begin to set boundaries in that relationship when they are living with or in a personal relationship with someone who basically says it's their way or the highway?
Well, I mean, there's different levels of it. So
okay.
when you're getting to it's my way or the highway, you've definitely gotten
escalated
to very escalated.
Yes,
but
yes.
most of it that we live with and tolerate is pretty subtle.
Okay.
And so learning to recognize it, setting the boundaries, it's slow. You may pick one little area that this is my line. And when somebody gives you counsel or advice or whatever you want to call it, you know, thank you. I appreciate your opinion.
Right.
And, you know, and recognize that. But, you know, giving yourself the freedom to do it or not do it.
Give yourself the freedom
Absolutely.
To do it or not do it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't give themselves that freedom, Dr. Falzone, because they're so insecure about whether or not they're doing life right, whatever that means. You know, whether they're handling this right or that, or their kids right, or their work situation, or their relationship, or whatever it is. Maybe there's such insecurity and inferiority, and they're not sure they're doing it right, so...
Well, not just that, it's maybe the people-pleasing mentality.
Ah, there you go. That's a big one.
It is. It's huge.
Yeah.
And so what if I say no? Maybe the other person really isn't exerting that control. Maybe it's just fear that if I say no or if I don't do that, they might not like me or they might
okay.
not accept me. And it may not even be real
right.
on the surface, but it's real inside of you because you've just given somebody else control.
Right. So some of our listening audience may be thinking, okay, how do I set boundaries? What do I do? Give me an example, you know.
Oh, boundaries. Well, learning to start in very small.
Okay.
I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, and boundaries definitely take time and practice.
Oh, that's a huge point right there. Boundaries, it doesn't just happen overnight, does it?
No. Absolutely not, no.
No, the controller has to get used to the idea that you're going to set a boundary, maybe.
Well, yeah, and the people in your life that you don't have good boundaries with, because they don't necessarily have to be a controller. It could
sure.
just be a person that I don't have good boundaries with, and I'm giving them power.
Okay.
That isn't theirs.
Right.
So recognizing the areas in your life, I think, is really the first step. Who do I give my power to that I probably shouldn't be doing?
Okay.
How am I doing this?
Right.
Am I, you know, not exerting my right to say no when the school calls and says, hey, can you do the cookie bake or volunteer to chaperone the dance?
Good example.
Learn that if you can't, you can't. If you can, you can, and let your no's be no and your yes be yes. And
so no's a very wonderful word.
If you can't say no, you really can't say yes.
Wait a minute. Where's my bell? Just a minute. There it is. Boing. All right. If you can't say no, you can't say yes. Please explain that, doctor.
Well, if you can't say the word no, then you didn't really ever give anybody permission when you do say yes.
Okay.
Because the answer is always going to be yes, because you're compliant and you're giving away your control, and it's yes, 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 yes.
Yes, yes. No matter what you say, yes, 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 I'll conform to whatever you want just to make you happy, because I just want to make you happy. I want to make you so happy, so I'll just say yes.
So when you can say no and stand in your no, then you can genuinely give away a true yes.
Oh, I like that. That's very good. Okay. So when you can say no, no, I can't. I don't feel good about it doing it that way, or no, you know. Okay, so you begin with small boundaries.
Very small. And sometimes it's just looking at, where am I doing this? Where is this happening? Where am I feeling like I'm not where I need to be with this relationship? Where am I feeling like things are off?
How do they know that they're in this? I mean, what kind of a feeling is it? You said feeling like it's off. I mean, help them understand. Maybe they feel agitated on the inside when they're around that person, or nervous.
Or anxious.
Anxious, yeah.
Yes, like they're being watched, or
yes.
Or if I say no, they might not like me, or if I don't, you know, every time I get an invitation doesn't mean you have to do it. It means,
right.
You know, but when you think that way.
Right. Exactly.
Those are warning signs that maybe I need to look at.
So that will
this.
Help you recognize, okay, I need to learn to set some boundaries in this particular relationship. Not all relationships are going to be the same. So
no. So
you may, one person may have more latitude with you, let's say, in certain areas than somebody else. You know, it's just the way it is. The relationships are different.
Well, of course, in a close friend, we would give them more freedom to have more parts of advice for us that would be more intimate and knowledge.
Okay.
And would take it to, whereas somebody we're just kind of, you know, a hey there kind of friend, catch up once in a while. It's going to be different. Our boundaries need to be different, because those relationships have different parts to us. It's kind of like layers.
Yes.
We have different layers of relationships, and we have different layers of boundaries.
Okay. So there's family relationships, there's personal relationships, there's work relationships, all these different things. Okay. So back to the things that we can control.
I like that, because we do have control. And I think what happens is we think we have control in the areas we don't.
Okay.
And we don't recognize the areas we really do have control and power over. So I think it leads to this humongous disappointment and this illusion.
Okay. Okay. I think before we get to what we do have control over, I think maybe we better talk about the other side of that. Go ahead with that.
What we don't have control over.
Yes.
And that's we don't have control over people.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
We do not have control over people.
Why do you say that, doctor?
I cannot make you.
Okay.
Do anything that I want you to do, no matter what I do. I can't make you do it.
I can always say, nah, I'm not doing that.
I can coerce you to do it. I can manipulate you to do it. But that's not freedom. That's not free will. I can't make you do it. I can't change your behavior.
Right. Okay.
All I can do is offer you incentives that maybe you might want.
Bribery,
yes. Well, I was trying to be nice. Incentives.
Well, I mean, when we have you have three teenage sons and I have three kids, but they're all grown now, but grandkids. But when, you know, there's times, you know, I bribed my grandsons this past year on their grades, you know, with certain incentives, let's call it, for certain grades.
Well, that's not bribery. That's incentives.
That's incentives. Okay, so there's
kind
a difference.
Of when the negative behavior is going on and you're like, if you quit, I'll give you this. That's,
okay.
An incentive is something we plan out before the thing. And so
okay, that's
there's
different.
A line.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're distinguishing that. Okay, so we don't have control over other people.
No. But a lot of times we feel and we think we do.
Okay.
And we think that, and that's what keeps us kind of going. And it's this illusion that I can control what my kids do, or I can control what my spouse does, or I control through my actions or behaviors. I can't control.
We really can't.
Not at all.
And we don't really have the right to.
No. Not only can't we shouldn't.
We shouldn't. We should let everyone have a free will the way God created us. Everyone has a free will.
Free.
Okay.
Yes.
What other things can't we control?
We can't control our environment.
Environment.
To a lot of extents.
Okay.
We can't control the laws of our government. We can't control human nature. We can't control the crime that, I mean, any diseases, these are entities that can come upon us. We really don't have the control. Yes, we can make choices to eat healthy and exercise and try to prevent them.
Right.
But in the grand scheme, we all have stories of people we know who were health nuts and lived a great life and exercise and stricken with some awful disease and they're gone. And
right.
Not to say we shouldn't eat healthy and do preventive.
We should do those things.
But we really don't have control over
life. Any happens.
Of that. Life, it does.
Life happens.
It happens.
So storms, etc. You know, there's just so many things in our lives. One of the big things was this crash that we all went through here in America the last few years.
The economy.
They're now calling that the Great Recession. And for most of us working people out in the economy, we didn't have any control over that. We didn't have a part in how that happened or why that happened, or nor could we just overnight change it either.
No. We couldn't.
Right.
And so we can make wise choices, but we can't control. And okay. So there's a difference between I can make personal choices to budget my money, to live below my means, to help accommodate for this economy crash, but I can't control the greater scheme of the economy.
Okay. All right. Anything else that we can't control?
Well, let's just get to what we can control.
All right. Let's get to what we can control. By the way, while you're thinking about that, let's give the phone numbers one more time if anybody wants to call in. You are welcome to do so. 727-441-3000. You can use that phone number anywhere. It doesn't have to be the 866 number because that's an easy one to remember. 727-441-3000 or the toll-free number 866-826-1340. Okay.
What we do control.
What do we control?
We can control ourselves.
Ourselves.
I can control my attitudes.
All right.
Which is how I take in information, and how other people see the information I give comes largely through my attitude that I take. I can choose to see things from a hopeful, positive perspective. I can choose to see it from the bottoms down, very negative, depressing.
Are you talking about the glass half full and the glass half empty?
The proverbial glass half full and glass half empty. Yes, but it's true.
I mean, seriously, people are that way. Some people are more positive, and it bugs other people sometimes who are very negative and always looking for the, don't do that because this is going to happen and this, that, and this, all that, that. You know, and they go into all the catastrophes that are about to happen, you know, if you make that decision. And they just see life very negatively.
Well, and it can be very paralyzing. I've known many people that wouldn't make a decision because they were so afraid of anything negative happening that they were just paralyzed and no decision, which is fear. Still a decision.
Yes, it's still a decision.
It really is.
So fear and attitudes. So we can control our own attitudes, but somebody, I'm just being naysayer here, or devil's advocate, somebody might say to you, well, the reason my attitude is bad is because she woke up like this today and acted like this, and then she did that, and then she said that, and that's why I have a bad attitude.
Well, a lot of people project blame, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a bell ringer, too. Project blame.
But the truth is I can control my attitude. I can control if I let your behaviors or your actions or your negative attitude affect mine.
Right. You can control it.
I can control that.
Yes. Okay. So that's your choice still. Whether or not I've misbehaved, still, how you handle that. So number one, if you're taking notes, we're going to give you five, like the five fingers, including your thumb, on your hand here. And the first one is you can control your attitudes. Begins with an A. That's easy to remember. Go ahead.
The next one is you can control your thoughts.
Okay.
And that's important because the things we think upon usually become our actions.
Ah.
And so what we're thinking about is very relevant and very important. And I can control the thoughts that I let happen. So I can sit and have a negative attitude and then let negative thoughts continue to feed.
Right.
And before long, we're going to go to the next one, which I can control, which is my actions.
Okay.
So I have control over my attitude.
Okay.
My thoughts and my actions.
Okay. Back up a minute to your thoughts. Okay. Your thoughts are what really cause the attitudes. Is that right?
They can feed each other.
They can feed each other.
Negative attitudes can feed negative thoughts. Negative thoughts can feed negative attitudes. So it's a back and forth feeding.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll get to this in a minute, but what do people do about negative thoughts? Maybe they've been one of these persons that all their life they've been around negativity. I've known a lot of people like that in counseling settings, and I've listened to them, and they've just said, well, you know, my mom was always like this, and my mom always thought that life was never going to get better for us, and, you know, they start into this blah, 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 woe is me thing, and it the parents were like that too, or the grandparents were like that. And those thoughts are ingrained. It becomes part of your fabric.
Well, it's learning to write new tapes, and we're learning to do it different.
Yeah.
And if we continue, that's what we have power. I have power over my thoughts. And so, yes, I may have been raised around a lot of negativity, a lot of people who thought negative, brooded a lot, but I can choose to do it different.
Right. Right.
And that's my power.
There you go. That's
so
your power.
So it's taking back your power and not giving it into the history of your family or of what you've seen or who you've been around or who's walked through your door that day.
Those are excuses. And any excuse will do for bad behavior, don't you think? I mean, that blame shifting, you know, I'm doing this because somebody did this to me. Or I'm, you know, this is the reason I'm doing this is because, you know, and it's... Generally speaking, it's not valid. I've heard this so often, you know, in listening to people. I was listening to a person this morning, a relative of mine, and the person was just going on and on about why she was not a success in this particular area. And it really was, all of it was blaming someone else. It was all blaming. Well, if so-and-so hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that. If so-and-so hadn't done this, I wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think... Any of us, any human being walking this earth can write all the really crappy things in their life and find someone or something to blame it on. We can all do it.
Sure.
It's there if you want to look for it. But the thing is it's not going to change the quality of my life today. It doesn't matter whose fault it is that where I'm at.
Right.
I need to take my power to start working out of it and get to where I want.
And so you are saying... that people can change their thought patterns. I'm going to call it a mindset.
Yes.
Can you define mindset? Because I like that word. I think that fits so often.
Well, the mindset's just kind of like the glasses we use to take in our information.
Okay.
So are we using, you know, realistic glasses? Are we using negative glasses? Is everything's not great? Everything's not terrible.
Right.
And so it's that mindset, how we perceive it. And there's always hope. So even if we're taking in
hope.
These negative
Amen.
Stuff,
yeah.
there's always the hope that
yes.
it can be better or change, or I can do my part to change my part in
right.
this, which will change the situation.
Right. Okay. All right. So we can change our attitudes.
Yes, we can.
We need to look at them, don't you think?
We need to recognize what our attitudes are.
Right. And what makes us so vulnerable, maybe, to people that are controlling? Because
triggers, and that's
triggers.
Exactly
okay,
what it is. We need to look at our triggers to our negative attitudes and our triggers to positive ones, because
okay.
we want to feed the positive triggers, and we want to kind of learn to work through those negative triggers so they're not triggering negative emotions.
Okay, so trigger is something that makes you respond a certain way.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of like a trigger on a gun. You hit that
right.
trigger, and that bullet's coming out.
Right. Okay.
And so we all have triggers for different
yes.
things. And so learning to find those triggers to our attitude. So when you're experiencing this really great attitude, what would happen? What transpired?
Isn't that a key in anger management?
Oh, yes. It's looking for the triggers and identifying
yes.
what happens that triggers anger in that instance is what you're looking for.
Right.
But in this one, we're looking for what's bringing us the positive and what's kind of making us take it from a negative, because looking at that will help us to learn to change.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got attitudes, we've got thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and now we're talking about actions.
Mm-hmm. Actions and behaviors, and that's kind of, they're two, they're a little different, and that's
okay.
kind of that respond versus react kind
okay.
of concept.
Right.
Responding takes time. I think about it. I choose to respond. Reaction
okay.
is this instinct that we just...
Instinct, okay.
Instinctually happen when something transpires in our life.
Okay.
And so we want to be people who stop and choose our responses.
Right.
Out of our own power and control, instead of letting the situation dictate how we're going to react.
Right. And so, and react is a dangerous thing. That whole word is dangerous when we just react to something.
Ooh, because it can cause a huge damage wave.
Right.
Things you may not be able to undo. It can cause people in your life to feel unsafe around you because they don't know what they're getting.
Yeah, right. Because, oh, wow, suddenly you can blow up. And I've seen this for years with controlling people, that any little thing can set them off, too, if they feel that... If they perceive that they are their person they're trying to control is trying to rebel in any way, they can get very angry very quickly.
Yeah, but we can just react for little things that still can cause us a lot of trouble.
Okay. All right. So we've got attitudes. We've got thoughts. We've got actions. We've got behaviors. Are behaviors more patterns of responding?
They are. There are more of our underlying patterns of our behaviors. What are we doing? Are we... We can control, do we follow through with our commitments? Do we follow through with our word? Are we wishy-washy? Okay. Are we the kind of people that get tossed around on the waves of life and nobody knows what to expect? We control that.
I often have said to one of my close relatives, I've said, the consistent thing about you is your inconsistency.
Sometimes that's very true.
And, you know, I mean, I can take that to the bank on this particular person. It doesn't matter what the decision was or what this person decided to do. They're going to be inconsistent and wishy-washy about it. So that can really cause a lot of problems.
Well, and that's just the problem is that person doesn't have good personal self-identifying boundaries.
Okay.
And so when we don't have that, we don't know what to expect of ourselves. But neither does anyone around us.
Right. So behaviors are more the kind of the overall way we handle problems, let's say, or handle issues, drama.
Yeah, it's kind of like
that. How do we handle drama around us?
Well, it doesn't even have to be drama. It's that undercurrent of what can be expected. And we want to find our behaviors that are more consistent. I mean, of course, there's always going to be exceptions.
Sure.
Things unexpected can happen that throw us completely off kilter. But so many people are letting the little things in life throw us completely off kilter.
Do behaviors have anything to do with your character?
Well, their values and characters can they underline and underwrite your behaviors.
Okay.
So, and that's that self-defining boundaries of who am I? What do I stand for? What do I stand for? Taking my power back.
Right.
Taking my power of my life. Reacting the way that I do based on my values, my beliefs, my system, my inner core of who I am. And I'm going to be the same, 90% the same person if I am sitting in a room of friends or other groups. I'm not changing
that's your character. Yes.
My character.
Your behaviors are usually consistent. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's what we're wanting. I mean, of course, we're going to be more laid back with friends than we would be at work in a professional setting, and settings are different, but we don't have to be a different person everywhere we go.
Right.
We
right.
can be the same, and we should be the same,
exactly.
relatively the same.
And these are things we should work on in our lives so that we are not victimized by controllers constantly. And there's number five. We didn't get to number five. So we've got, if you're writing them down, what do you have power over? Your attitudes, your behaviors, your thoughts, and your actions.
And number five is your successes.
Your successes.
And I think a lot of us don't think of that as something I have power over. But if I'm successful or not, that is definitely within my power.
Right.
No matter what happens around me, I can choose to press forward and hit the mark, or I can choose to make excuses.
Exactly.
But my success is mine. I own it. And my lack of success is still mine, and I still own it.
Oh, my.
Big one.
Big one. Because a lot of times, that's where the blame shifting comes in all the time. You know, well, this is because of this is I can't be a success. You know, people do this all the time in life. I hear it.
Well, and here's where it's kind of that backwards is because we want to control what we can't. We want to control others. We want to control the greater systems of life. But we don't want to take the control over what we really have control. So we're giving that away.
Right.
And we're trying to control what we can't. We have a mess of chaos kind of around us. And we're not happy. We're not settled. We're not self-identified. And it's not working.
Wow. For the person out there, Dr. Falzone, who is a controller, and maybe they're listening today and they're saying, oh, okay, I need to take a look at this. The benefits of being a controller, why do people fall into that kind of a pattern of behaving of where, you know, they make it known that it needs to be their way, whatever, in whatever relationship we're talking about? Do you understand what I'm asking you? I mean, there are so many controllers, I think, who really aren't aware that they are that controlling.
Well, no, and I think we all hear stories of people's families of, oh, that's the great grandma. She just gives you the guilt trip. Well, that's
okay. There you go. There, that's an example
that
right there.
We don't look at it in those terms of controller or victimizer,
right.
And it's not really all the way to that degree, but
sure.
It's still the subtle patterns of taking power that's not one's to take, or
right.
And giving power that one shouldn't be giving,
and projecting out there an attitude that. You, let's say, don't meet up to my expectations, so I am going to make you pay for that, or I am going to maybe give you the silent treatment. I have a relative, and I have a lot of relatives, but I have a relative who years and years ago when he was first married, his wife would tell the family members that he was one of these that would go, if he got mad about something, if it didn't go his way, he would go silent for days on end and not speak to her at all. I mean, she would be saying, what do you want for breakfast? No response. I mean, absolute silence for days.
Wow.
Silence can be a big thing, a power tool of the controller, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. It can be. Cause
sending the message, I'm just going to go silent on you because you're not doing it the way I want you to do it.
Yes, I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to disengage. I'm shutting down. Because mm-hmm. It's just not exactly the way I think it should be. And it can be, you know, I see it a lot with adult children. As they become adults and parents, we have great intentions for our kids. There
right.
are bundles of joys, and we want the best for them, and we think we know the best for them.
Right.
And so we know the mistakes we made in our lives. We don't want that for them. So
right.
what we want to do is save them from those mistakes.
Exactly.
Inside. And so we want to gently nudge and lean them towards things that we think would be in their best interest.
Cause right.
we have experience. We've
sure,
been there, done that.
Exactly.
But the truth of it is we are trying to take power and control that's not ours to take.
Exactly.
And I mean, I'll just be blatantly honest. See, my own son.
Okay.
I have one that's going to be 18 next month.
Wow.
And he has got the sweetest heart, and he would love to join the military. And as a mother, and knowing realistically, you know, I'm military, very pro-military, but this is my baby.
And you
so
don't want him doing that.
It. And, but I have to give him his freedom of his choice. And so as his mom, my insides wants to cringe, but I have to say, I love you, son, and I'm going to trust
do
you
what
to
you
your
feel.
Choices.
Woo, we have Bonnie in Ohio. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yes, hello, Mama Mac and Dr. Falzoni. How are you?
Hey, good.
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. I have a question for you, and I hope that you can help me with it. I have a friend who, listening to you talk, that she is a control freak. If I don't conform to what she wants, she pulls all different kinds of little tricks, including getting mad, but she throws the blame back on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything that I can do to kind of curtail that? I don't want to give up the friendship because she is a good friend, but I'm just kind of perplexed and knowing what to do.
That's yours, Dr. Valzona. You take it.
It's a tough situation. And can you talk with her honestly about how you're feeling and on a little issue?
Well, we've tried that, and it kind of goes back to the fact that it's my fault. That, you know, I'm the person that has created the problems between us, and I don't think I'm the problem because I'm the one that is getting the, I guess, her flare-up attitudes, and I really want to be her friend. I've been trying to reach out to her, and it just seems like that, you know, whatever I do, she turns it back and makes it...
Yeah, blame shifting.
The problem is me.
Well... Setting some boundaries is a good way to start, and setting them very small, because you're not going to go from 0 to 60. And if you want to keep the friendship, that's admirable, and hopefully it can be saved as you set your boundaries. And doing it small, and learn. Can you say no? Can you?
Telling her no is my problem, because I can't tell her no, because I've been trying to help her, and by telling her no, makes her infuriated with me, and I want to reach out to her on different occasions financially and with gifts, but kind of giving her little text messages to let her know how much I care for, and I always get just makes me sad because I'm not the problem. I think she is. And that's why I want to tell her so bad, you know, you have a controlling attitude. And I know that we could be better friends if you didn't have that attitude.
Wow. Okay.
And you're right about that. And the thing is she may have the controlling attitude, but you can control your part of what you take and don't take in that. And so okay. Sometimes it's going to take a little bit of space, getting perspective, maybe not being as helpful, being honest, being very honest. Mm-hmm. Honesty is important.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if she can't take it at any level, you really don't have the friendship you think you have.
Ooh, that's a good point.
I see.
And so that's what kind of makes me, you know, she's kind of, you're kind of, sounds like you're helping her a lot and giving her a lot of your resources, time, energy, support. And that's great. It's admirable. But she's in the driver's seat here.
Yeah.
I see, because I, you know, if there comes a point in time where she wants, you know, she wants help from me, but if I ever turn the tables on her, it's a different story. And I, you know, like I said, I guess you have to be a friend, don't you?
There you go.
You do. And I'll tell you what, a really good book of resources is a book called Boundaries. Dr. Townsend wrote it.
Oh, wow.
And it's a good one. They have personal boundaries, and you might want to pick it up and just look through it. You might get some really good, helpful suggestions and advice in that.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bonnie, for calling in. We're getting close to the end of the hour, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
So to sum up here today, folks, Dr. Angel Falzone, our resident expert on Go Yard, has been sharing the things that we do have control over and the things we don't have control over. And if you missed any part of the show, just go to the www.tantalk1340.com website, and this podcast will be up there probably tomorrow and stay there, and you can go back over those things. But quickly, the five things we do have control over.
We have control over our attitudes, our actions, our behaviors, our thoughts, our successes.
There you go. And so it's time for people to quit trying to push all their own control on other people and let them be who they are, right?
Yes. And we needed to start taking control over ourselves and being who we are.
Right. Yes. And find who we are and take back our power. I like that.
Take it back.
Take back our power, because so many times we've just given it away, not even knowing that we're giving it away, right?
No, we don't. Sometimes we don't realize we've given it away until we've done it so long that we just don't even self-identify anymore.
Right. Yeah. And suddenly we just become somebody's pawn in their chess game. Right. Wow. So this is very important stuff. And this has everything to do with our first two shows on domestic violence, because a lot of the abusers are very controlling people.
True, and control's at the root of domestic violence. But this goes beyond that and in a whole different realm. And I think each of us can find areas that we may be guilty of taking power and control that we shouldn't have, and giving power and control we shouldn't give.
Exactly. So it's time to learn all these things. Yes, this has been great. Dr. Angel Falzone here in the Tampa Bay area, PhD and licensed mental health counselor, our resident expert on Go Yard. I'm Mama Mac. And life experience is my thing, you know, and counseling also. But we're glad that you've joined us today. And we encourage you to go to the Tantalk website, www.tantalk1340.com, and catch up on the first two shows. And tell some people about Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life and not just bunting or barely striking out or whatever. We want you to hit a home run. All right. Have a great week. We will look forward to seeing you next week on Go Yard. Dr. Falzone, it's been fun.
It's been fun. Good night.
Yeah, good night. All right. It's a new lease on life.